I'm Wayne Epps. Here with Zach Joe Wakeham. Welcome to the VCU basketball update. We're going to take a look back at VCU's recent stretch and also what they have ahead here. We're just three games to go in the regular season. So it's been a rough stretch for VCU recently. Lost five in a row, first time since February 1998 that this has happened. So it's a little bit of unprecedented, you know, or at least in recent history, unprecedented stretch for VCU recently. And, you know, looking at the stretch, like we're heading to the three-game stretch they had against Richmond, Dayton, and St. Louis, we said, okay, this is going to be a tough stretch. They need to maybe win two or three out of these of that stretch to maybe stay on the bubble or on the right side of the bubble for NCAA tournament contention. So, you know, you say Richmond, that's a game that could have gone either way. Richmond's a good team, and playing at Richmond, that's a tough game. Playing against Dayton, nobody in conference is beating Dayton yet.
Played well that game, too.
Yeah. But St. Louis, you know, that can be tough at home as well. But still, you know, in the streak, you started with Mason. That's a team, just to be frank, like, that's a team you expect a senior-laden VCU squad to win against. And you go to UMass yesterday, that's another game that you expect an experienced VCU team to win against. So it's been, you know, a stretch where things have been kind of disappointing results. And I think the thing that's continuing to kind of creep up for VCU is these big opponent runs, something that Mike Rose has talked about, something we've seen kind of repeatedly. With this team, you know, St. Louis on Friday, St. Louis went on a 17-0 run to pull away in that game. Against UMass on Wednesday, UMass went on an 11-0 run to kind of take the lead for good in that game. And you can kind of go all the way back. George Mason went on a 16-0 run in that game.
Even the first Rhode Island game.
Yeah.
Right? I think we did a story on that after that first Rhode Island game, that it just feels like they're kind of walking on glass sometimes, and that run is coming in any game, and there's a nervous element, I think, that VCU players, VCU fans, VCU coaches all have, that you're kind of waiting for that run to come.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And you can go back to the game at Dayton on January 14th. Dayton went on a 22-0 run in that game. They were in that game otherwise, so it's just been a kind of recurring problem for VCU. Mike Rose has talked about, you know, I think it goes back to something that he's talked about, you know, going back to last year as far as logging the game. When they talk about that, it's as far as, like, okay, you take a quick three, it's like maybe you take a bad three a couple times down, you kind of have the kind of frame of mind of saying, okay, this time we're going to try to reverse the ball, we're going to try to get the ball inside, get some paint touches. So I think, you know, maybe to help break up some of these runs, they need to get back to doing what has worked well when to get those paint touches, able to work the ball out, get some open looks on the perimeter, which I will say against UMass, they executed better, particularly in the first half. They just weren't knocking the shots down. But I think during these runs that we've seen, it's just sort of poor shot selection, allowing easier shots in transition for opponents.
Something that stands out is they don't have their run stopper, right? And it feels like Marcus Evans, you would have hoped, was going to fill that role for much of the season. Obviously, he's been banged up all year. And that's kind of the guy that you look to in those situations to take authority and to take onus, to maybe get to the line, try and get an easy bucket or something like that. And that's something that you'd like more of a team-wide commitment from, right? Especially getting to the line. They're not shooting free throws collectively very well right now, and it seems like they're almost scared to get to the rim and take a lot of contact. And those are those moments that you look for when a team is starting to get going, is something to just slow down the momentum. Somebody gets to the line, just kind of do something dirty. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like they're trying to make it all up in one possession. Like you said, jacking up deep threes. Mm-hmm. And you would like to see some more commitment to them just making the dirty plays in those moments. And they don't have a guy right now. And I don't want to make an excuse for them, but not having Marcus has really hurt in those moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree. One thing with Marcus, sort of intangible he brings, is he has a next level competitive edge, is something that Mike Rose has talked about a lot. We saw that last year when he was healthier. Maybe not even, you know, even full health last year.
I don't know
if
we've ever seen him as 100% in a VCU uniform.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. Obviously, crazy injury history going back to two Achilles tears before he even appeared in the game for VCU. Had the bone bruise in his left knee at the end of last year. Then now he's dealing with the MCL sprain that's keeping him out. But even with what he was able to give last year, say 70, 80, 90%, he kind of had that little bit of that killer mentality at times. Like, he almost single-handedly won those games. Two games against Dayton last year was basically game-winning shots in those games.
I think of the bucket to beat Hofstra
early
in the season, right? That was kind of his not coming out party, but that's where, like, I think a lot of VCU fans realized that, like, this is our guy with the killer instinct.
Yeah, and he's been, I think, probably more hobbled than people realize. We all realize that throughout the year. I think he was dealing with some couple things earlier in the season. Then you go back to January. Kind of a bunch of things between illness, and then that's when he first suffered the MCL sprain in practice in January, and then kind of re-aggravated against Mason earlier this month. So it's been kind of hobbled throughout the year. So we haven't really seen, I guess, that that, you know, extra edge could be able to come out because he just hasn't been healthy. And he's shown some, a little bit of offensive inconsistency. I think they really missed that, especially now at this point in the season when you plan, you know, plan the fifth-ranked team in the country at home. You have a chance to win. You're down by three, you know, with, you know, seconds left. You're kind of missing that kind of shot maker, and I think that's made a huge difference.
And it's a lot to ask of Bones to try and be that guy, although it seems like that almost what everyone wants him to try and be, because it seems like he has that killer instinct and he's going to be that guy down the road, but it's a lot to ask of a freshman. Mm-hmm. And so the other seniors kind of seem to feel that pressure and they're not able to come through in those moments right now. It mm-hmm. seems like they're pressing a little bit. Dariante had a good first half mm-hmm. against UMass, and then he just kind of disappeared there in the second half. Mm-hmm. And it seems like none of those guys have been able to step into those shoes and be the big shot guy in those moments when VCU needs them to be.
Yeah. Something we kind of brought out last week with the video is a little bit of a segment, kind of a stat of the week. We did stat of the season in the last video. We want to break out stat of the past week or recent stretch this week. And I'll start with that. My stat I pulled out, you mentioned Dariante Jenkins. Against UMass, he had two threes in the first half. Bones had two as well. Those were kind of big threes in a slim lead they had at halftime. Ended up not making another three until about 36 seconds to go in that game, and that made it a three-point game. But UMass hit free throws down the stretch and ended up obviously holding on. But looking at the three-point shooting overall, again, they had the struggles in the second half against UMass. In this losing streak, the five-game losing streak, they've shot the ball 21.4% from three overall. And that's a really stark change. We saw when that kind of recovered earlier in conference play, they won four in a row after the Dayton loss. They were shooting over 40% from three in that stretch.
They live and die by it.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing right now.
And now in this five-game stretch, it's dipped down to 21.4%. And that's been huge. You know, we saw, again, during that four-game winning streak, Bones was shooting the lights out the ball and saw some other guys kind of supplementing that, like Mikel. But that is the three-point shooting has just been a little bit non-existent at times, and that's been a big one, especially like you said, for an offense that relies so much on inside-out shooting, inside-out production. We don't get that. That's the whole element of your offense gone.
And it seems like when a few teams, it takes a couple shots going in for the team that VCU is playing to get in tune with that. Like we saw that against UMass as they were going under some ball screens against Bones and Dariante, and they hit a couple threes in the first half, and then all of a sudden they were going really aggressively over those ball screens. And when they force the guards to get going downhill to the basket, that's when VCU looks uncomfortable, is when they're in those situations where you've got the guy guarding you behind you and the big in front of you is having to make that decision with, do I step to the shooter or do I roll back with whether it's MSS or Hassan or Corey toward the basket? And VCU's guards just aren't able to handle that in those situations, and UMass was really able to turn the tables on them.
Yeah, and looking at this stretch too, one thing he can't ignore is injuries. And they've had some really unfortunate injury luck, whatever you want to call it, here in this recent stretch. Again, mentioning Marcus, he had missed two games with that knee issue. Came back, tried to come back against St. Louis, but had to leave midway through the second half of that game because the knee was just bothering him too much. And now Mike Rose said this week they're just going to go ahead and kind of shelve him for the time being, let him try to get as healthy as possible moving forward to finish the year. So he's out.
Try and get him good for Brooklyn.
Right. Which is, you know, I think it's smart. You know, that's going to be their chance to make the NCAA tournament is winning, you know, whether three or four games in Brooklyn. So, you know, he's out for the time being. Corey Douglas, he came out in the St. Louis game as well late in the first half. He's dealing with a foot issue. He's had some foot issues, I think, throughout his career. If you go back to January 2nd against Fordham, he sat in that game. He had a foot sprain in that game, the same foot. And now they have what they're labeling a bone bruise in that left foot. And they said it's just not responding to treatment at this time. So they're going to want to let him to kind of rest and get healthier as well. So he's out. So we knew those two guys were going to be out heading into Wednesday's game. But then not long before the tip-off, we found out Vince Williams was going to be out. He obviously missed a little stretch there with a broken wrist.
That was a little surprising. Broken seemed like hand. That kind of came out. I mean, we knew he was dealing with something, but for him to be out, what was it, maybe about 30 minutes before tip, that, mm-hmm. that seemed a little shocking.
Yeah, excuse me, not the broken wrist. Malik Crawford had that earlier, but it was a broken bone in his left hand.
There's a lot
left
of injuries to keep track of.
Yeah, he's a left-hander. He had a broken bone in the shooting hand, so he missed a few games with that. Came back, was in the starting lineup for three games, and now he's missed UMass. So that was a big piece. He's that guy. I think he was playing pretty well at the four. He was rebounding better, which they needed. And he's just a tough hustle guy.
Which only I think big they really stretch the floor too, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, and he's a tough hustle guy. He plays hard. His missing his presence was big, especially for the depth as well. So they put Mikel back at the four. So missing those three guys, plus Bones, dealing with a hip flexor strain that he suffered against Dayton at home last week. So he's been dealing with that for the past week. He left the St. Louis game dealing with that early in the second half, and then come back and
thankfully didn't really see it a whole lot against UMass. It looked like he played well, but with a freshman that's already dealing with a lot of pressure on him to perform, now you add an injury to the mix, and that's a lot on his shoulders now.
Exactly. It's just, it kind of compounds. Even Marcus Santos Silva, he played obviously, but whatever happened, like I think he took a shot to the face earlier on. I didn't see anything that was very like blatant or telling, but I noticed he started kind of holding his nose, and then he came back like it was like 11 minutes to go in the first half.
The mask looked really cool.
Unfortunate for Marcus, whatever happened there, but he did look intimidating with the mask. But it seems like sometimes, as Mike Rose alluded to on the post-game press conference with Robbie Robinson on the radio, just sometimes, I guess he didn't say use these words, but it's kind of alluded to it, when it rains, it pours sometimes. Like, you know, you're going through this losing streak, and also these injuries are starting to compound a little bit as well and pile up here. That's definitely, again, a factor, I think, in their production. Like, last night, you saw the starters play a lot more than starters typically have played for VCU these last couple of years when they've really kind of accentuated this depth. Everybody but Deriante Jenkins either tied or set a new career high in minutes. You just go down the line. Mikael Sims, who started, went 36 minutes. Chento Silva went 35. Isaac Van, 32. Bones Highland went 35, and Deriante Jenkins went 32. He had played more than 32 already this year. He's kind of touched the 30 minutes a few times here this season, but still, you know, it's kind of on the upper range of his season minutes overall playing last night. They didn't use the bench as heavily. We saw them kind of back off on some of the pressing and the trapping and really their style of play a little bit. I think maybe trying to preserve those bodies, knowing they had a shorter rotation. So I think that you can't underestimate that effect in this losing streak.
And UMass's broadcast did something along the lines of Rhodes doesn't have his army. He talks about it all the time. And when you're so used to playing a certain style and you don't have the personnel to be able to do that, puts a ton of pressure on you, right? And I think we saw sort of the repercussions of that down the stretch. There is usually VCU's used to wearing out another team, and usually they're the one with a shorter rotation, and so you see that in the last few minutes as their legs go out from under them. Maybe they're not making outside shots as much. It was the opposite. VCU looked like they were the ones that their legs kind of got taken out from under them, weren't able to hit outside shots. They were the one with the shorter rotation, and they were exhausted, so that kind of enables other teams to give VCU a taste of its own medicine a little bit, and we saw that down the stretch there.
Yeah. So they're heading to Saturday's game. That's a game they really, really need. GW is a team. It looks a lot better. They have a familiar name for VCU fans, and Jamie and Christian, and the new Kent native, was assistant coach at VCU during a 11-12 season right after the Final Four for 1 year with Shaka Smart. He's really kind of that program was kind of reached a low point, and he's really kind of seemed like he's starting to turn things around. They're a lot better offensively with the offensive efficiency. I wrote down that last year they were in the 300s, down at like about 345th in offensive efficiency. They rose up to like about 190 or so offensive efficiency this year overall. So they really make a big leap there, and they're really sharing the scoring load a lot. You're seeing Armel Potter kind of really step up, and some young guys like Jameer Nelson Jr. A lot of people obviously know his father from St. Joe's, but Jameer Nelson Jr. has came in and played well. Jameson Battle and all the freshmen has played well. So they're showing some flashes. So like at this point, is you know, where VCU is at, you can't underestimate any opponent. I think everybody is kind of trying to take their shot at VCU because they see it a little bit, maybe you could say, vulnerable at this point. So even at home, I think VCU kind of has to be on their toes against another feisty young team like UMass was in GW.
And earlier in the season, it's kind of funny and ironic because you looked at the back end of the schedule and you said it eases up a little bit after the stretch where you had Richmond, Dayton, and St. Louis. And that hasn't really been the case, because I don't want to say VCU's gotten unlucky, but like Mason's playing better right now. Mm-hmm. UMass is playing better right now. George Washington's playing better right now. So they've ran into some teams that are on the uptick right now. And VCU's obviously struggling, and just the timing there has been really unfortunate, because you looked at the back end of the schedule as an opportunity to maybe get right. Or a few months ago, you looked at it as an opportunity to get right going into the A-10 tournament, and it has not been that. They've had some tough tests against some teams that people didn't expect to be near the – people expected them to be at the bottom of the conference going into the year, but all three of those programs are playing well right now. So respect to them. VCU's, you know, run into some teams that have a good vibe going right now.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I think at this point, you know, Rose kind of, again, addressed the post game with Robert Robinson. I think he had to say it might be a little bit more of just the straight basketball stuff, the shooting, the passing, the defending. I think there's some frustration creeping in. That's what Mike Rose said, you know, after the game against UMass. Just guys a little bit frustrated, obviously, with how things are going. I think especially when you're a senior And as Michael has mentioned as well this season, is that you kind of realize your window is closing. And so you start pressing a little bit. And, you know, now with this 5-game win streak, I think they kind of have seen some of the opportunities, the Inspire tournament and whatever it may be, kind of see that those opportunities kind of get away from them a little bit here. And then that's frustrating. And then I think maybe those feelings kind of compound a little bit when you get into a stretch like this. So they kind of have to find a way to break out of it and quickly with just 3 more games to go in a regular season.
Bones, I think, late last night tweeted the emoji with the face with the smoke coming out of the nose. Mm-hmm. So everyone's frustrated right now, from the upperclassmen to the underclassmen. And I think that he personally feels a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. There was one moment that I kind of wanted to go into yesterday. It was in the second half.
Yeah.
And usually you have that guy on the team that after you get a foul call that people are frustrated about and the other team's going to the line, they're standing at the free throw line and they're going like, let's huddle up, guys. Let's move on to the next play. And Bones was the one doing that. Mm-hmm. And I think that there a couple of the seniors, somebody had their hands on their heads, somebody had their hands on their hips, and they look frustrated. And Bones is the one standing there going like, guys, let's move on to the next play.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's where you see, like you said, kind of the psychological battle that the upperclassmen are fighting right now, is they're mm-hmm. just really frustrated. Yeah. They know the window's closing, and they feel the immediacy of the time that they have left at VCU.
Yeah. So I think, you know, it's easy to say and just list it off. Sounds easy just to say, but I think really they just kind of need to give back to being themselves, get back to playing their style.
Loose in the ACL, yeah.
Exactly.
They're missing the L right now.
Yeah, which is, again, hard to do when your depth is short and with these injuries, but you need to get back to trying to be aggressive, get back to trying to depress the way they do, which is easier to do at home as well on Saturday.
And when you have the full rotation, obviously.
Exactly. Trying to score off turnovers, create turnovers and score off turnovers. That's one thing that's kind of dipped a little bit.
I'm going to run into the stat that I had as well real quick. Okay. This is, I get a little complicated with the KenPom stats, so forgive me, guys. But their 2-point field goal percentage right now is 47.5. That's 251st in the country. Their turnover margin is 6th in the country. They're not turning the ball over and they're creating turnovers. But for some reason, those aren't translating to easy baskets on the other end. And I don't have an explanation for that, but it seems like that's the big problem, that over the years VCU feeds off of those easy baskets, right? When you create turnovers and you get going in transition and you get easy buckets and it gets you in rhythm, and that's how you start to see the threes fall. Yeah. You get a couple of those easy baskets and then things get into flow, and that's not happening right now. And I don't have an explanation for that. I don't. It's really frustrating. That's one of the largest gaps in the country. I tried to find a list of teams with the gap between those two things, and I couldn't find one, so I can't say it's definitively the largest gap in the country, but it's got to be up there between their field goal percentage and their turnover margin, because usually when you're creating turnovers, you're getting easy buckets, and for some reason it's not translating right now.
That's something they talked about a lot. That's the way they want to play. And you see a lot of times, particularly at the Siegel Center, when you have that crowd behind you, like, you know, they get a couple quick baskets off of turnovers to kind of get their momentum going, try to get their morale going, and then things become easier in the half court.
You set the press up, too, when you get made baskets, yeah.
Exactly, and things become a little bit easier for you in the half court because you kind of get that mojo going. That's kind of how they want to spark their own runs, because that's one thing I feel like we talked about a lot last year with this team when they were, had their win streak going, their own win streak going, obviously 12 straight to finish the 18 play last year. One thing you would see, you would see teams kind of hang around with them for maybe midway through the first half or even longer, and they would flip a switch and they would go on their own like 17-0 run or something like that, and they would put teams away. And it was because they would get those quick, easy transition baskets and kind of get a couple quick scores and then set their own stuff up in the half court and get some more scores, and all of a sudden, you're pulling away. And this year, we haven't really seen them be able to flip that switch to kind of either stop a run or create their own run, and that's been sort of fatal.
And you can really feel those moments in the game too, right? I think it was, they were up 38-30 on UMass early in the second half or something along those lines. And it felt like it was that moment, right, for them to flip the switch and for them to make it a double-digit lead and really put UMass away, and it just didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, it's the other team that's able to put those runs together against VCU. And again, we don't have an explanation for that. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like a bit of a psychological block right now where you're kind of walking on glass as a VCU player and as a VCU fan because you're waiting for that opposing run to happen, mm-hmm. as opposed to anticipating your own run to put the game away.
Right, right. So one thing, I guess, glass half full type of thing you can look at. Again, so there's so much talk about with respect to, this experienced group, that experience to kind of pay off with success this year. It hasn't really panned out that way. But if you look at it, I guess, on the bright side, I think when you're going through a stretch like this, you gotta be happy to have an experienced group. You'd rather have an experienced group than a young group when you're going through this, because these guys have kind of been there, done that. They've been through some tough times earlier in their career. I think they kind of know a little bit of prior experience of breaking out of tough spells. So again, having 5 seniors, 7 total upperclassmen, this is the type of group you would want when you're going through a stretch like this, because they kind of can know how to break out of it. Maybe try to finish the year strong, and that's what they need here. They want to need to kind of get hot. They're gonna
hopefully get their leader back.
Yeah, and Marcus, and but they need to try to get hot now if they want to try to make some noise in the A-10 tournament. Because again, that's their last chance to try to make the NCAA tournament here. So. I need that spark right now. So.
I found myself kind of laughing after the UMass game, going like, "Well, what did it really matter?" Because the NCAA tournament, like the at-large bid, is obviously it's gone by the wayside at this point, and you're just fighting for seeding in the A-10 tournament. And that loss obviously mattered as far as seeding in the A-10 tournament goes. Now, losing record in A-10 play, mm-hmm. which I have never, I started at VCU class of 2014. Mm-hmm. That's really shocking for me to see a losing record in A-10 play. When was the last time you said CAA?
Yeah, last losing record in conference was when they were in CA in 99-2000 and went 7-9 that year. Yeah.
So it's been quite a while. Mm-hmm. So you would hope that group of seniors can come together and pull them out of this. Hopefully getting Marcus Evans back down the stretch is going to help them do that.
Yeah. So we'll see what they're able to do Saturday. A big opportunity for a big rebound. We'll see if they will take advantage. We'll have all the coverage on Richmond.com.